Now, it's a week away for most of us, but let's be completely honest, Christmas is going to start this weekend and fizzy drinks are all part of it. So what do fizzy drinks really do to your body, and can they really make your kids hyper on Christmas Day? Registered dietitian Sarah Keogh is back in with us today. Sarah, thank you so much for coming back in. I might get you to pull that mic right close to you there. I was too busy talking to you off air to do all this stuff beforehand. But let's get right into it, okay? And we'll start with the basics, because a 300ml can of Coke, this shook me to my core, has almost 9 teaspoons of sugar in it. Like, what's our recommended daily intake? I'm assuming it's not
so
that much.
I mean, it actually, guidelines vary.
Okay.
So in Europe, there's no actual upper limit set, which surprises people, because they did, the European Food Safety Authority did a huge amount of research on this, said there's literally no evidence to put a cap on it.
Okay.
And what we actually know in terms of sugar is that it's actually a combination of two things. How often you have it is actually the bigger thing. And
okay.
So the same amount of sugar spread over the day is worse for you than a whole lot of sugar in one go.
Stop.
In the UK, they would talk about 7 teaspoons of added sugar a day for adults. But the WHO might talk about 14 teaspoons of added sugar a day. So really, the point at which, you know, sugar is too much is a bit debated out there at the moment. But what we do know is we definitely want to be eating a little bit less, mainly because of the effect on teeth.
Okay. Yeah. And sorry, every dentist right now is going, well done.
Yeah,
help us out here.
And it is actually the teeth. And I think the thing about it is teeth is not exciting, you know, because we all know sugar rots our teeth. So everyone's like, oh, that's kind of boring. But actually, it's really important, because teeth, you know, as we get older, are hugely important for nutrition as we get older. But even a lot of kids are still have, you know, the dental caries, getting the fillings, yeah, and losing teeth even at young ages. And sugar is a big part of it. And it's how often you have it. So one fizzy drink drunk all at one go is less harmful than the same fizzy drink sipped over the whole day, because each time you sip, you're putting that sugar into the mouth, the bacteria are making acid out of it. So it's partly the amount of sugar, but it's also how often you're actually eating it is the bigger issue for the teeth.
Devil for that.
Well, especially once the sort of 500ml bottles for soft drinks came out, everyone was sipping and putting the lid back on. It was with the cans, everyone just sort of drank it and it was done.
Yeah, because you have to hold it.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? What else are you going to do with it? So yeah, we have seen that has kind of not been brilliant for teeth, really.
What would you advise then, like, in terms of fizzy drinks? Should they be treated more like a treat as opposed to a daily option?
Oh, very definitely. I mean, fizzy drinks are very much sort of treat foods, and treat foods are a lovely part of life. They're a nice thing to include, but like anything else, treat foods shouldn't be a big part of what we eat, because they push out kind of our healthier foods, and they're very easy to consume a lot of. You know, even with, say, a bar of chocolate, there's a physical amount where you're just full, whereas with soft drinks you can just keep drinking and drinking, so people can get a huge amount of sugar and calories and things like that with them, and obviously that exposure to teeth as well. So, you know, with fizzy drinks, it's like really unusual. It should be a real treat, and not the way we see treats now. Years ago, treats were you really just got it on a Sunday. Today is a treat.
No.
Like, well, it's been 45 minutes since my last treat, maybe I'm due my next one, you know.
It's a real treat yourself
so
moment.
Really keeping the soft drinks, you know, which would be one thing I would limit, because the sugar is one aspect of them, but they're quite acidic as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sort of a double attack on your teeth in terms of the enamel as well as the acid from the bacteria and the sugar.
This time next week, everybody is going to be like full flight, getting ready for the Christmas dinner and, you know, everything that's going on. But let's talk about fizzy drinks for kids at the table. Like, do you think they should be banned? Or
not for Christmas Day? Leave Christmas Day alone. Like, seriously, will you please, all of you, eat your chocolate and your roast potatoes?
Enjoy yourself.
It breaks my heart when I see people giving it the, oh, 6,000 calories on Christmas Day. Well, I just think, fantastic. I am going to be right slap bang in the middle of that. You know, yes, we have to be, you know, look at how we nourish our body. Yes, we have to give ourselves our vitamins and our fibre and all of those really, really important things. But you can take a day off. And you can
enjoy
yourself. 2 days off and do Stephen's Day as well. It'll be grand. You know, we can be too strict to the point where we actually end up giving ourselves issues around food and feeling guilty about eating, and that's something that I just absolutely hate. And I think we talk about balance, but I remember hearing an expression years ago, which is everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah.
Like, there's a time where, do you know what, would you just relax? And I guarantee you, dietitians around the country will be kicking back and enjoying everything on Christmas Day. So if your child likes a fizzy drink and it's safe for them to have and they don't have diabetes or any of those things, you know, it's not going to do, they'll be fine for one day.
Let them enjoy it.
Really do.
Can it make them hyper?
Not really. I mean, we see lots and lots of studies on, does sugar make children hyper? But when we actually look in details on studies where we've got really proper research, where you look at children having a lot of sugary food and being hyperactive, when you actually delve into the diet, they're eating so many sort of sugary and treat foods that actually their B vitamin levels are low, their omega-3 levels are low, their iron levels are low. So what's actually, we think, triggering the hyperactivity is the lack of B vitamins. And we do know that for a lot of children, you know, even some kids have maybe been misdiagnosed with ADHD, and it actually turns out to be B vitamin deficiencies.
Okay.
So what we think is that the high sugar is a marker for a diet that's low in other nutrients.
Okay.
In the same sense that if you're eating lots of sweets and sugar, you're not eating fruit and veg and whole grains and all of those kind of really important nutritious foods with it. In saying that, what you will see on Christmas morning is kids who've been hyped up, probably didn't sleep half the night, woke up 15 times, came in at 4 in the morning, were sent back out again, you know, and then the house is full of people and there's presents. I think they're just going to be giddy anyway.
Yeah.
And the same thing, we see kids at birthday parties and everyone's like, oh wow, they had sugar, they went completely wild. You put 30 kids on a bouncy castle, do you know what I mean? They're not going to lie down and you know, chat about politics. They're going
do
to
yoga.
Bounce around. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
There's a little bit of situation. But I mean, certainly some kids are going to have that sudden rush of energy. But do you know what?
It's let them off.
Any harm.
Yeah. My mom used to ban cans of Coke and Skittles just for my younger brother. So if I wanted them to get in trouble, I'd start feeding them.
You've got the caffeine and the sugar.
Yeah, it's
and,
a lot.
You know what I mean? And it's a lot of sugar. So yeah, you know, I think you know your own kids as well. So it's a little bit of parental judgment.
Most of our 2FM audience who are listening right now are a lot older and they mightn't have kids, right? So what about fizzy energy drinks? Because they are a big thing for people who are going to the gym or trying to do exams.
So I think when we talk about energy drinks, we're really talking about drinks that have added caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots and lots of different brands out there. The sugar varies hugely. There will be some that do have sugar. Most, quite a lot of them now would be sugar-free. So the sugar isn't there for an awful lot of them. But there is that caffeine then as well. And again, they would be a treat food. I would put them in the category with other soft drinks. They are definitely not what I would ever think of as a healthy option. Caffeine, when it comes to training and exercise, there's really good research around sports nutrition and caffeine. And what we tend to see is that if someone is maybe going to do a workout, going to do some training, if they've had some caffeine, now that can be a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
In the previous half an hour, they tend to have just a little more go in terms of actually doing their workout. So if you're kind of thinking, oh, I really need to go to the gym, a bit tired, that's where it can be helpful. But I'd also say sometimes if you're thinking I need to train or I need to go to the gym and I'm really tired,
sleep.
You actually just need to take the break. Do you know what I mean? We've got to listen to our bodies a little bit. Now, people get terribly excited about these energy drinks and the amount of caffeine in them. But like, most of them don't have much more caffeine than a cup of coffee.
Okay.
Some of them have less than half the caffeine in a cup of coffee. People get very, you know, oh my God, there's all these caffeine in them. But in the same way, when you look at these drinks, they are not for children.
Okay.
They are not for children. So in the same way you wouldn't give an 8-year-old 3 or 4 espressos, don't give them 3 or 4 cans of a caffeine full energy drink with that. So I would definitely put them in the treat part of it. You know, if you need that caffeine hit to have your workout, have your cup of coffee. And if you're that tired, would you ever just take a break?
Yeah, go for a nap.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think though, and especially coming into this time of year as well, we get really caught up on the, like, I need to go to the gym X amount of times before I do. But we're running around and we're doing so much. And you do, I think you forget that you actually do burn so many calories going doing your Christmas shop.
Oh yeah.
Running from place to place.
Scrubbing the house from top to, you know.
Exactly. Scrubbing the house from top to bottom actually should be listed as a workout somewhere. Because
it totally is.
It is.
Well, you only know when you collapse into bed that night and think, wow, it really worked. Now, the only thing I'd say, I mean, I think there's a balance in terms of exercise at this time of year, because I hate people kind of the idea where they're like, oh, well, I have to go for this walk or go to the gym to burn off calories so I can, you're like, do you know what? The reason you exercise at the moment is to de-stress.
Yeah.
Because we talk about it as a very stressful time of year. And I think some people have a lot more organising to do, you know, in terms of presents and all these different things with it. That if actually you get the half hour walk in or you get the gym, the swim, whatever it is that works for you, you're just a little bit calmer, the stress a little bit down. And I often think you're less likely to be running around the house thinking I'm going to cancel Christmas, you know, this. You know. So I think if building a little bit of exercise, but for your mental health and not so much about trying to burn off calories and things like that.
My little sister is 11 years younger than me, and I've noticed her and all of her friends are kind of like more going for like the healthy buzz with like their fizzy drinks. Is the something to do with the sugar tax? Like, is that helping?
That has definitely made a huge difference. And we had a report out on that just a couple of weeks ago showing that actually it's been very successful in terms of reducing sugar overall. And I think a thing that a lot of people don't know is that, you know, the Food Safety Authority are actually involved in a huge project around reformulation. And they're, you know, that's led by Sinead O'Mahony, who's fantastic at the Food Safety Authority. They're looking at reducing fat, saturated fat, salt, sugar. And that's all quietly going on behind the scenes. And that reduction is coming into our foods all the time. But the sugar tax very specifically pushed people on away from the full sugar drinks onto the lower. So we've seen a big, big drop in sugar consumption with that. But that has been falling anyway.
Okay.
So research on children. So things like the National Children's Food Survey has shown that a lot more children. And what's lovely is they're moving to water. Because even with the diet drinks or the, you know, the sugar-free drinks, yes, the sugar is gone, but they're still a little bit acidic. They're still not fantastic for teeth. And water is really, particularly for children and teenagers, that's really what we want them drinking, because that's when their teeth are really vulnerable.
Okay. Let's talk about, because you just mentioned it there, like the zero drinks and stuff. Mm. Like, all I ever know from them is that they're full of sweeteners. Like, what's your take on that?
So sweeteners are incredibly well researched. And I know when I talk about this, particularly when I do talks or workplace or I put stuff up on Instagram or anything like that, people are like, no, you're totally wrong about this. So there's a lot of people have very strong opinions about sweeteners. But what we know from the research is, to date, we're not seeing anything concerning about them. Now, there's something that's watched and monitored, but that's no different to any other additive that we put into food. So the European Food Safety Authority literally on a rolling basis checks the science on food additives. And, you know, they checked aspartame there about 4 years ago. The full document is available online if you want to go and have a look at it, if you're really bored. But it's like they go in detail on all the research that's out there. I think what caught a lot of people was there that last year, aspartame, which is a sweetener in a lot of diet drinks, was given what's called a 2B cancer rating.
Yeah.
And lots of people are like, oh, wow, it means it causes cancer. So it doesn't. What that breaks down as, when it comes to things that might cause cancer, what they have is like a class one, which is things that we know for definite increase your risk of cancer. So things like smoking would be in there. Class 2A is things that we'd say probably cause cancer in high levels. And then class 2B is possibly. And what that really means is it's a bit on our radar. We're having a look at it. We've no real evidence that it does. We're paying attention. It may come off this list in a little while.
Okay.
So aspartame got on to, if you're drinking, you'll love this, more than 14 cans of diet soda a day, it possibly increases your risk of cancer, but we don't really know. So but I think if you're under the 14 cans, you literally have nothing to worry about. Okay. If you're over that, I think you have other problems. You know, so it's kind of, but like other things that are on that watch list in terms of the 2B cancer rating include aloe vera, pickled vegetables.
Oh no, not my pickled vegetables.
No, but this is what I'm saying. Please don't panic.
We are
in no way at all giving any warnings about these things. It just got the huge headline because once you mention the C word, everyone's like, oh my God. So, you know, it's actually nothing. It wouldn't, you know, I'm certainly not going to stop eating my lovely pickled beetroot at all. But it's just, as I said, sometimes you've got to really look at what do these cancer ratings actually mean. Yeah. You look at the class one, they're the things that we've definitely got very solid evidence increases your risk of cancer, and they're the things to look at.
Okay, and not the 2B, which is exactly what this is in. You were obviously mentioning water there a few minutes ago. That's kind of the route that you would want to go for. Cordial, is there a lot of sugar in them? Or
they really vary hugely, but a lot less than soft drinks. So there's a very big difference between those kind of cordials, squashes, things like that. And you can obviously dilute them as much as you like. Mm-hmm. And particularly with smaller kids, they don't know any different.
Yeah.
But I'd always say with young kids is start with milk and water. They're the drinks. And really just delay bringing anything else in as long as you can. I mean, often you have sort of the grandparent effect of, you know, would you not let them have a little taste? You know, would you just leave them alone for a while? You know, they will discover them. But I think if you establish that really good habit that milk and water is what you have with your meals, and then the soft drinks are a real treat.
Your Sunday treat.
Just bring them in as a treat. Yeah. And just, it's what I'd often call them is sometimes foods.
Okay.
I would never talk about junk food. I hate that as a term. I think that just dismisses some lovely foods that are out there. But sometimes foods. And that's where your soft drinks come in. But leaning into particularly water, but milk is a great drink as well, particularly for kids for calcium.
Last question I have for you, because it's something personal. We're all obsessed with sparkling water. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here as an office. I think at least 50% of us love our sparkling water. How is that for our teeth?
It's absolutely fine. I mean, it's slightly more acidic than
regular water.
And it's just the carbonation in it. There's a very, very mild carbonic acid in it. So if you're drinking lots of it, or if you're holding it in your mouth, so what we do see, and I know I remember talking to a dentist about this, that a lot of teenagers, particularly with fizzy drinks, tend to hold them in the back of their mouths to feel the fizz on their tongue. Okay. So their teeth are longer exposed. So it's a little bit like that with the sparkling water, but really nothing. You know, every so often someone pops up and goes, oh, that gives you osteoporosis. There is no evidence that sparkling water gives you osteoporosis. There's no evidence it does anything. Even the thing around the teeth, it's not something that's hugely seen. It's, you kind of go, maybe not mountains of it, but you know, if you're having a glass of sparkling water and it's as an alternative maybe to a full sugar soft drink, it's definitely, you know, a million times better.
Well, there we have it. Fizzy drinks shouldn't be banned, but like everything, go easy on them. Moderation in moderation is exactly what we've learned today. Registered dietitian Sarah Keogh, thank you so much for coming in with us today. Merry Christmas.
You too.
I hope you have a great time. We'll be right back after these. 2FM.